Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm P. Well, if you enjoy writing poetry or prose, or enjoy reading what others have written, and particularly concerning accessibility issues, you'll enjoy this week's show.
We'll talk with Michael Northen, a longtime teacher of people with disabilities and currently editor of Word Gathering, an online journal of items written for and by people with disabilities. We'll start by talking about that journal, and towards the end of the show, we'll learn about Beauty is a Verb, an anthology of disability-related poetry that he also co-edited. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is the internet is a great communications tool, including giving you the ability to interact with other people who may have exactly the same issues and concerns as you do.
But of course, as Nancy said, the internet is a wide and diverse source of all kinds of information, of all kinds of topics and all kinds of interests. In fact, you can even listen to our show, as many people do on the internet, by going and downloading our shows, subscribing to the podcast. You can connect with other listeners by subscribing to our email listener forum by sending an email to eyesonsuccess, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe at googlegroups.com.
And one more thing that you can find on the internet is the Word Gathering Journal, and that's what we'll be talking about in most of this show. Let's start by meeting Michael Northen and getting a quick overview of the Word Gathering Journal and Beauty is a Verb anthology.
My name is Michael Northen. I am the editor of the online journal of literature and disability called Word Gathering. And I'm also co-author of a book called Beauty is a Verb, The New Poetry of Disability. It's an anthology, and it's actually been quite successful. It's one of last year's top three poetry selections by the American Library Association, and it's being used in a number of classes in colleges and stuff throughout the country. So we're pretty happy about that. Although I'm retired now, I taught for about 40 years. In the late 1990s, I came to work at Inglis House in Philadelphia, which is a residential wheelchair community for people from 18 years older and up. And my job there was to work as coordinator of the education department, basically coordinating both GED programs and college courses between local colleges and the residents at Inglis House who wanted to take them because, by and large, they could not get out to the colleges to classes.
Inglis House turns out to be a very interesting place, providing lots and lots of services, and we will have a link to their homepage in the show notes for this show.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success.
This week's focus topic is Word Gathering, an online journal of poetry and prose written by and for people with disabilities. You mentioned earlier that Word Gathering came out of work you were doing at Inglis House. Can you elaborate on that?
When I first joined Inglis House, or when I first began to work there, a number of the residents came to me and said, you know, we used to have a poetry group here, and it's kind of gone by the wayside, but we've heard that you write, so could we start one up again? And so we did. And one of the things that we rapidly found out was there was no writing out there, really available writing, written by people with disabilities. The people in the group would write things, but they would want to write, see what other writers had said who were in their situation or had something to say to them. And typically when we found work, it was written by someone who didn't have the disability themselves, or somebody who was putting a caricature on the writers, trying to make them a poster child or something like that. And so we began a lot of our own work. And one of the first things that we did was to start an annual poetry contest. And once a year, we'd solicit work from around the country, and then we'd, you know, put out the awards and put the names of the writers, and we would do a chapbook of the best work that we'd received. And after that had gone on for a number of years, in 2007, I believe, we started our online magazine, Word Gathering. And, you know, things have kind of progressed from there.
So you described Word Gathering as an online journal. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? Give us an overview of what it's all about?
Sure. It began as kind of an overflow place for us to put poetry by writers with disability, because when we had the contests, we really couldn't feature everything that we wanted to. It started out primarily as poetry. We'd include an interview, a book review, and a few essays. And it's gradually broadened out there so that now we've been including a lot of fiction lately in our essay. We have a particularly strong book review section. And one of the things that we try to do there is make available new books and writing that have come out that might not make it on mainstream presses that you're not likely to see in the bookstores and so forth. As far as whose work we use, you don't have to have a disability to submit your work, but obviously we favor and we kind of push the writing from people who have the experience to back up what they're writing about.
And I take it this covers fiction as well as nonfiction?
Fiction, nonfiction, we've had some drama, poetry, yeah.
A number of our listeners are writers themselves, and one of the things that they complain about is that if they try to submit a piece that features a blind character, that the publishers will complain, oh, this character isn't realistic. They're too independent. They're too capable. And the author's like, well, hey, you know, I've got a professional career going here. I just wrote this book or this article. I don't see it's unrealistic at all. Do you find that people with other disabilities run into the same kind of pushback?
I think you're right that people do say sort of, well, that's unrealistic. Let me address two prongs of that. One is when people are coming out of their experiences and they're writing memoir or autobiography, nobody can basically deny that they've been doing what they've been doing. You know, so that's one of the reasons that that kind of thing will get printed more for whatever the purposes are that the editor wants to include it in there, whether they're trying to do a feel-good piece or whether they're really trying to do serious literature. So that's one thing. But we're a little bit in your face as far as saying, look, you know, this is what these people are saying, and these are the stereotypes that we're trying to bust. When we get submissions, we are very likely to reject things that reinforce stereotypes and try to put out things that do show things that are new or different or inventive or what people can come up with that have other ways of conceptualizing or viewing things, you know, from their own experience.
When you receive submissions from people, do you know about their disability ahead of time? How much do you know about the potential authors?
Okay. My policy is not to label people, first of all. So a lot of people will send along a bio, and we appreciate that, you know, because that tells us where they're coming from, if they have CP or if they're blind or what it is that they have that's a concern of theirs, you know, in the writing. Lots of times it'll be obvious in the writing, but if we're going to use a piece and we have a question about it, we will ask the writer, especially if it's something that's a little bit on the periphery. Like, for example, when you mentioned, well, people aren't going to believe this. Okay. Then we'll get back to the person and say, you know, do you really have cerebral palsy? And because we want to make sure that if you're writing about this, you know, you have the authority to back up what you're saying.
So you try to vet the material for memoirs and the like, but in general, it sounds like you judge the material based on the writing quality.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, when I was browsing through your website, I saw all the articles, and you can read the articles in text format, but I also noticed that there were a number of links to audio files. Can you tell us a little about that?
One of the things that we're working towards is trying to get more audio files on. But not everybody that can send in. So, you know, there will be some in each issue. And I wish that we had audio files that every poet that sends in their work could send in the audio file so it could be heard as well. But not everybody can do that. Not everyone has the tools, and we don't want to rule out writers because of that. And I don't want to go in, especially with poetry, and interpret somebody else's work for them. It's their voice, and if their voice is in print, then that's what it is. Anna Garza did some of her own recordings. So we do try to do that, and we definitely welcome it, but it's not always possible.
Anna has been on Eyes on Success several times before, and we've always referred to her as either Access Anna or Anna G. But here's Anna giving a brief excerpt from one of her poems in the September 2013 issue of Word Gathering.
After 20 years of blindness. 1. The visual memory is dead, except for the odd ghost that rises from, who knows what startles a ghost. The phenomenon is called Charles Binet syndrome, visual hallucinations in the blind. Not frightening, just images, often born of physical surroundings, parquet in a scratched wood floor, a bookshelf on a study wall, a person on a crowded street, the visual cortex slipping into habit, or reflex trapped inside the visual cortex. Who knows?
Now, I wanted to point out for other people who might be interested in doing some of their own audio recordings for either their own purposes or submitting to the Word Gathering Journal, that we've talked on this show about a number of audio editing programs. One of the more simple to use is called Audacity. And if you just buy a simple microphone from Radio Shack or Best Buy or just some electronics store and plug it into your computer, this Audacity program is very screen reader accessible and you can easily make your own recordings. So we'll have a link to that in our show notes if you're interested, as well as usual, links to everything else we discuss in the show.
And Audacity is free.
Well, that's a good benefit.
Do you do all the editing work yourself?
I have two other co-editors now. One of them is, well, actually, she's currently also, but one of the past poetry editors for Breath and Shadow. That's one of the couple other journals in the country that will only publish, in fact, it will only publish the work of writers with disabilities. And it's online. She comes out of that background.
What's her name?
Her name is Linda Cronin. And my other co-editor, Sheila Black, her disability is basically a genetic form of rickets and several things that go along with that. And she's an outstanding writer. She was one of two poets to receive a national award from the Poet Laureate of the United States, Philip Levine, in 2011. So her credentials are pretty solid. I rely on them in terms of, you know, what they think about the writing and so forth.
What are your criteria for selecting material to publish?
We battle over this all the time. A balance between artistic integrity and between giving a chance to new writers who may not be able to get published in other places. I mean, we're always going to reject things that are stereotypic, you know, that reinforce negative stereotypes. We also reject material that reinforces positive stereotypes. For example, the person with a wheelchair that can get out and jump out of airplanes and climb mountains and so forth. And there's a real pushback from the disabilities community not to look at that as representative of people either, because the feeling is that unless you're like this, then somehow, you know, you don't deserve to be featured. And that's not true.
Well, I think people come in all different kinds and all different abilities, and it's nice to show that range in the material that you present.
Well, I mean, obviously, if somebody's writing a memoir, a narrative, and they've talked about all the things that they've done and they've been amazing, we aren't going to turn that down. But if the main character of a story tends to be a disabilities wunderkind, then we're not going to take it as seriously.
We're not all supermen. We're not all failures.
Yeah.
You mentioned one other American online journal for disability literature. I gather there are others?
Well, that's a good question.
And not just American, because we have listeners all over the world.
what I'm basically familiar with is American, although we do have, especially from South Africa, we have a number of writers that we deal with. To be honest, there aren't many. There is Breath and Shadow, and there's Kaleidoscope, and they started in 1983, and they were really the first hard print journal developed just to the arts and literature, well, really about disabilities, because you didn't have to have a disability to contribute. And just this January, they're going to go entirely online. Those and Word Gathering are the only three that I know that are dedicated specifically to disabilities literature. Now, there's the Disability Studies Quarterly, comes out of Illinois, and that's very academic. But a lot of their, and they will do some book reviews and so forth, but much more of theirs is political or academic essays. And Journal of Cultural Literacy, coming out of Great Britain. And they're pretty similar to the Disability Studies Journal in the United States. And of course, there are, you know, various journals that will include a poem or a story or a life writing of some kind somewhere, but that's not their primary purpose. So really, Kaleidoscope, Breath and Shadow, and Word Gathering, from what I know, are it. And that's why, you know, I think the work that we do, even though it seems small, I think is important.
And we'll have links to Breath and Shadow and Kaleidoscope's main websites, as well as Word Gatherings, in the show notes for this show on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
How often does Word Gathering come out as a new issue?
It's quarterly.
And if people wanted to submit material, what is the process for doing that?
There are guidelines on the page, but very simply, the address that people send it to is submissions@wordgathering.com. And basically what we prefer, although we'll accept material that comes in any form if that's what the person has to work with, but basically we like them to send whatever they're going to do in an attachment. And I guess I'm talking to any potential writers out there. If you put something in the body of an email, especially if it's poetry, it's going to come out messed up. Depending upon, you know, what your program was that you were using. So we like as an attachment. And also, if you're a poet, don't just send us one poem, because you may think it's your best, but we may not. So send us a sample. We take up to 5 poems. This is one area where we discriminate. We'll take up to 5 poems from a writer with a disability, up to 3 poems from a writer without a disability. And then, you know, if we want more, we'll ask for it. If somebody wants to do an essay for us, the best thing to do is to send us your idea. I mean, you can send a whole essay if you want to, but it works better for us and for you, I think, so that you don't send it in and get a rejection notice. Let us know what you want to write about or what your essay is about, and, you know, we'll generally try to. We try to get, if we're not in the middle of putting out an issue, we're back to you within a month. And if you're a new writer, or not necessarily a new writer, but an established writer, and you want a book reviewed, let us know what the book is. Give us a little bit of a précis of the book, you know, and we'll let you know if we have room for it and if it's appropriate. If it's a manuscript and it hasn't been published, sometimes we'll do that too. We have one coming up in the next issue.
For people who want to submit, well, basically anything, I guess, do you have length restrictions?
My canned response is, if it's an essay, probably around 1,000 words, or between 1,000 and 1,500 words. But what I always say is, make it as whatever length it needs to be to say what you've got to say, with the caveat that something that's too short, unless it's flash fiction, probably isn't going to do it. And people who are on the internet sometimes have short attention spans. So if you send us something that's 5,000 words, you have to be prepared for the fact that people may not read it all the way through. Although what we'll tend to do there is, if it's good and we want to accept it, is to suggest that we split it into 2 issues.
Where would people go to find Word Gathering on the web?
It's www.wordgathering.com. And Word Gathering is one word, spelled WORDGATHERING. We also have, for both Word Gathering and Beauty of Verb, we have a Facebook page. And for both, we also have a Twitter account.
And I must say, it's a nicely accessible site when using a screen reader. It's very well laid out, and everything is very easy to navigate around. We'll have links and the contact information for all that in our show notes.
Is everybody who works on word gathering a volunteer?
It's strictly volunteer on my part. Now that I'm retired, that's what I do. The other two editors are extremely busy and they work, but they help me out when they can. But yes, and Elliot, who is the webmaster, it's all volunteer on his part. We don't do advertising.
Are there times when you're looking for volunteers to help with this effort and carry on the mission?
Definitely. Again, with the caveat that, you know, we want this to be not just slapdash, but people who know what they're doing.
And what kinds of things would you like other volunteers to do?
We'd be overjoyed if there are people out there that know something about disability literature or have experience with people with disabilities and want to do book reviews for us. That'd be great. Or help out in some other way.
And I take it there is contact information on your website if they did want to get involved.
We have several emails. The one I mentioned to you is for submissions. We have another one that's just comments at wordgathering.com, and people can write to us about anything on that. And then we have a third one, poetry at wordgathering.com, which is what I generally write back to people from if I'm just communicating to them about ordinary information. So anybody that has ideas or wants to help out in some way, we're more than happy to do that. And this is something important to announce to the writers, even though it's not fair. We don't pay for your work. We wish we could. Kaleidoscope gives you a little bit, and Breath and Shadow will give you a small amount for your writing. So if money's the important thing to you, then those would be the places to go to. What we're basically concerned with is that your work gets read and people have a chance to read your work. And, you know, if you need more money for your work, then we really can't help you out there.
So there's one other interesting feature of word gathering that Mike sent to us in an email note after the interview. At the end of each issue, there's an author's index that lists everybody who's had a contribution ever since the beginning of word gathering. So you can look up any author and find out everything they've had published. And in the index, it indicates which issue, which item is published in.
Well, that sounds pretty handy.
Oh yeah, it's great. Now for this week's final item, the poetry anthology that the editors of Word Gathering have published and an anthology of prose that they're currently working on. We've been talking mostly about the online magazine Word Gathering, but you mentioned also that you've published an anthology of poetry called Beauty is a Verb, and I gather you have another anthology of prose coming out relatively soon?
We hope so. It's going to be the same publisher, Cinco Puntos Press. They've been really great with us. What happened was I told them, look, Beauty is a Verb was unexpectedly really, really well received. And poetry is one of those areas out there that a lot of people with disabilities write in, as well as memoir and so forth. But you know what? There's not much fiction out there. We want to cull the fiction that we can find and get it out there in one anthology. Well, for two reasons. So they don't have to hunt and peck for stories if they're looking for it. And also, so it's a usable anthology for college courses and so forth. They said, yeah, well, go ahead and submit something to us. And Sheila and I are working on that. I'd say maybe next summer it'll come out. I don't know. So we're very hopeful about that for a couple reasons. One is the bottom line is people read short stories more than they read poetry when they go to buy something. People are looking for something, a chance to find in a bookstore, and people who want their work to be seen, you know, something to be in. It's all going to be contemporary. We're going to have a few earlier pieces from maybe, you know, the 1980s that were pieces that really kind of led the way for disability short fiction. But by and large, they're all going to be living writers now. We're going to have some experimental work. In Beauty is a Verb, what we did was everybody who submitted work had to also submit an essay that in some way reflected on what their poetry had to do with the life they led or their disability or their theory about writing about disability. We're also going to include some writing like that in the upcoming anthology, but it's not going to be a one-for-one because the bottom line is not all fiction writers are going to write essays about it. One of the things that we do have on the Beauty is a Verb website is we have a few things like lesson plans for dealing with the work and links to some other material.
What types of essays are you looking for?
We are interested in personal essays, but it needs to be very well written. It has to have some literary merit to it. So those are the two types of essays that we try to look at. Ones that have to do about literature and one that have, if it's about your personal experiences, is really entertaining in some way. You know, it needn't be funny or anything like that. We have some pretty heavy duty essays, but there needs to be something original or something kind of gripping about them.
Do you have a website or something where people could go to purchase the book if they're interested?
Yes, they can go to, I'll give you two. One is www.beautyisaverbbook.com, and beauty is a verb, book is all one word. That tells you all about the book. The other place to go is to the publisher's website to purchase, and that's Cinco Puntos, CincoPuntos.com.
And we don't expect people, as usual, to be writing down all these web addresses and contact information, et cetera, et cetera. So just go to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net, and try using the new search feature to search for a particular show by topic or by show number, and that might be an easier way to browse through our archives for particular information.
And you can also search by the name of the guest. So, for example, we mentioned that Access Anna has been on this show many times. And so if you search under Anna or Access Anna, you will find five other shows that she's been on a variety of interesting topics.
In fact, by now, there are over 150 shows in the archive, so there's likely to be something on a topic in which you'll be interested in, and just browse around.
That's it for show number 1402. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the Cosmo e-Brailler and the BERT remote braille teaching tool. We'll speak with David Pillisher, president of Electronic Brailler LLC and inventor of both the Cosmo e-Brailler electronic portable braille embossing system and BERT, the Braille Education Remote Tool, which utilizes Cosmo to enable braille instruction remotely over the internet, either one-on-one or in a group. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.